Thank you, Lord Jesus. We talked last week about we talked about the providence of God in suffering, and that I want to kind of go over that and kind of, you know, whenever you talk about providence, it can be a challenge as far as when you hear that, you can leave a little bit, I'm going to say discouraged, but maybe discouraged, but a little bit kind of blew out that, wow, you know, this is a tough doctrine. So I want to kind of bring that back home here and kind of give you some hope at the end of this here, because if you remember that everything he does is for his glory, and there's always going to be good coming out. And I've told you that, but I still want you to hear that again. There's always going to be good coming up out of that in the end. You know, so I'm led to go back and review from last week, but then remind you that all things work together for good, so that you don't leave out discouraged or hopeless. But I hate to say is, I think because you can risk a congregation leaving the sanctuary sort of blew out and sort of maybe discouraged a little bit, that they rather not teach on providence or sovereignty. But that's not the answer, you know, because this is where pastors have to trust the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're teaching the Word of God, then you don't trust the Holy Spirit. If you're teaching the Word of God, and your hermeneutics is tight, right? Your the way you interpret is good. Then you're all right. You've done what you're supposed to do. Yeah. The Holy Spirit has something to work with, which is the truth of God's word being planted in the hearts and minds and ears of his people. Yeah. So you got to teach those hard things. I mean, it's not always a comfortable thing to talk about the poverty, providence of God, the sovereignty of God in suffering. But it must be known. You need to know that, because that's how you get through it. There was a mother, she was a young mother, I think as I remember the testimony. And she had, I think she was a mother of at least two or three children, and married, but she had been taught this teaching, and she was dying of cancer, and her faith shone mightily throughout the hospital. It touched the nurses, touched the doctors in a mighty way, to the point that they could say, we've never seen this kind of faith of someone who was destined to die. And so cancer took her life, and one of the, lack of a better term, one of the anti-God, providence, sovereignty, and suffering folks who didn't believe in that came up to him, you know, and to the pastor of this particular mother who died. And he waggled his finger in the pastor's face. And I bet you told her that God, you know, gave this to her or did this to her or something, you know. He said, no, I didn't say that. He said, but I'll tell you what she, the dying mother, said to me. No, I didn't tell her that, but I'm gonna tell you what she told me, Mr. Wagglefinger. She told me, the dying mother said to the pastor, that if I did not know that God is getting the glory and has a purpose for this, that's going to be used ultimately for his good, I would have never been able to make it through this if I did not know that.
Yes.
So in other words, thank God I did know that, because that helped me to get through that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, Lord.
There are too many Christians suffering, and a lot of us are suffering. I'm talking throughout the entire world. Yes. Who do not know this, don't understand it, don't want to receive it, and they're wondering, God has forsaken me. Where is God? And God is right there. He's always right there. And that's the point. I beg of you to hear this. You're never in the control of Satan. You're always in God's control. Because even when God allows Satan to do things to you, you're still in God's control.
Amen.
Read that again on Job, but we got to keep hearing it. Got to keep hearing it.
Amen.
Job, what? Yes, Satan. Y'all need to calm down a little bit. Right, and Jacob, y'all look too noisy today. Job, God said to Satan, go on and hit him up. Don't touch his life. You can take away his property, but don't touch his life. Complete under God's control. When things happen to you, when you lose money, job don't go right, kids go crazy, body goes sideways, and believe me, just live to 50, it's going to go sideways. That's not a, oh, you just had a negative confession, oh, shut up. You ain't got that kind of power. We was taught that, you know, you go to the doctor, you can't even tell the doctor what's wrong with you. Well, why are you here? Well, I'm believing for healing. Well, why are you here? Well, I'm just believing. Okay, I hear you believe. What's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Goodbye. You don't have that kind of power. You don't, everything you say out your mouth does not come to pass.
Amen.
You mean other verses that God's will got to be behind that. You ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
When Satan hit Job, the direct causal agent of Job's fortune being all wiped out and all of his 10 children all being wiped out, the direct causal agent was Satan, right? But indirectly, God was in full control. That's what we have got to remember.
Yes.
Let's say a lot, Father God. Help us to get that. Now, I know it's not easy. We want sunny days. Amen. We don't want rain ever. We don't want tempests. We want just what we got today. Sunny, 70s, very little wind, gentle sun washing over our face. But that's not real. You don't grow from that, period. Or, I'm saying it's not real to want that all the time, is what I'm making. God does give sunny days. We've experienced those too, where the rain, there's no rain, sun washing over your face, 70 degrees, very little wind. He gets glory in that too.
Amen.
But if you look over, look at Job 2. And Job is almost a cursed book because don't nobody want to go up in there. Nobody wants to go up in Job. So look at Job chapter 2. We read it last time, but let's hear it again. Let's read it again. Job chapter 2, and look at verse 10. Job 2 and 10. But he, that's Job, said to her, his wife, who just told Job in verse 9, why don't you curse God and die? But Job said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God? Sunny days, 70 degrees, gentle breeze. Things go right, good job, raises and all of that. That's all that comes from God too. But here it is. Have we come after good from God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. that when good things, and we love that and we're praising God. Glory be to God. Got a raise. I'm finally going to have a child. We got a home. Whatever it is, we thank God for that. But as soon as any evil comes, or as soon as troubles hit our door, we blaming God. Why, God, why? When, God, when? He said, in everything give thanks. Not for everything, but in the middle of everything. Not say for, but in the middle of your hard time. He said, give thanks. And I go back to, you read it, let's read it again. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Job had all these things from 13 to 19. Verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground. What do we call it? What do we say that is? Classic signs of grief for a Middle Easterner. Tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground. The news was so incredible. But look at the last words after fell to the ground and worshiped. That's incredible. Yeah. Father God, help us to get to that point. I'm not saying it's easy. Job was in pure grief. That's why I tell you, go ahead and cry. You get that news. It's all right to cry. And I'm going to look through the faces that I look through, you ought to receive some news, whether it be about your daughter, your son, your sister, your father, nephews. You receive that 2 o'clock news in the morning, symbolically speaking. The phone call we never want to hear. Your mother, your wife, father, husband, we receive that news. You are human. God does not, he's not, he's not expecting you to be non-emotional. And that's another thing I had to kind of get washed out of my system after being over there for so long, was emotion does not mean weakness. Emotion means human. Amen. Grief is human. This is a mighty man of faith.
Amen.
But unfortunately, very little recognized amongst churches, unless you are in a Reformed church. Because Job is looked at as, all they try to do is find out where he's sinning somewhere in there, and that's why this is all that's happened to him. They just ignore all of the first chapter. All those years, all they said was Job was a sinner. They'll go turn to a verse over, I think in chapter 3 near the end, saying, Job said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And they took that one verse and said, well, see, Job feared, he was in sin, sin opened the door, and Satan got in there. That's what's taught over in charismatic circles, to keep their prosperity movement going. Because all this comes against prosperity. And so they had to find a verse to discredit all of this great faith that this man exhibited. He tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground and worshiped God. Boy, oh boy, get us to that point. And what did he worship him? The verse 20, the rest of that says, verse 21, and Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's an example for us to follow.
Amen.
That's powerful. But overlooked for years. 40 years when I was in the charismatics. 40 years. Couldn't do nothing with Job. He worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the name of the Lord, after losing 10 children and all of his property. Is God crazy? Is he confused? Is he discombobulated? Don't know what he's doing? Not wise? No, to all of that. He's the only wise God. Every trouble, every second of trouble, every bit of pain, every sickness and disease that you experience, there is a plan behind it from God.
Amen.
When I first heard the phrase, I think it was Luther, who said that the devil is God's devil, I could have threw up. I'm like, they crazy. Then you walk it through. Did the devil create himself? Yes or no? Did the devil, you can ask, the devil create himself?
No.
No. Is the devil a created being?
Yes.
Yes. Who created the devil? God did. Well, he created the being that became Satan. God did. Created him as an angel of light. Lucifer, the angel of light. And I keep asking, time and time again, in eternity past, before everything, before anything or anyone was created, God saw when he created Lucifer, the angel of light, the anointed cherub that covered, that led the choir in praising God in heaven, he saw the day that iniquity was found in him and he became Satan. When did God see all of that? Before he ever created him. And went ahead and created him anyway. Got to walk it back through. God didn't make him evil. God doesn't make people evil. God, people do evil on their own. God simply uses evil and suffering and pain for his glory. Providence, again, it means, just a review, remember, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them, something as minor as a leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Simply put, God is involved in the world. He is constantly caring for and has absolute rule over everything that's happening in the world. Archie Sproul put it, there is not one maverick molecule. A maverick or rogue molecule means that there's one molecule out there that's not under the power of God, that's out there kind of doing his own thing. He said, not even one atom, one molecule. There's nothing out of control of the power of God, no matter how small it may be, no matter how minor it may appear. Everything is in God's control. I think even in the book of Psalms or Proverbs, one of them said, even the die that is cast, when you throw the die, even God knows what the numbers are going to turn out to be. Nothing is by chance. Amen. Father God, help us to get this in Jesus' name. Now, pain and suffering, God uses. Now, what I want to do today is to encourage you and just remind you, which I've done, but remind you that there's a plan behind all of this, and that plan is for your good. For your good in time and his glory ultimately in eternity. Always for that. Right? What did Jeremiah say? I know the plans that I have for you, right? Plans to do what? To help you, to do you good, not to harm you. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
I know the plans I have. They're not to do you harm. Well, Lord, I'm being harmed by this cancer. Yeah, but ultimately, remember, your Apostle Paul calls our light afflictions, which is incredible, and the things he went through, beatings and stonings and all kind of things. He called them light afflictions, but he said when compared to the eternal weight of glory.
Yes.
So no matter your heaviest, hardest, most difficult days in this life are light, weightless trifles when compared to the eternal weight of glory. Being in the presence of God forevermore and being in the presence of billions of people who are going to always get along perfectly forevermore.
Amen.
That's incredible. You're talking about family reunion.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. I tell my wife, we get along great. You'd be hard pressed to find another couple in the entire world that gets along better than us. I believe, and I think about glory to God, we ain't both on our side, we ain't worth two dead flies. But as well as we get along, I told her, we're going to get along even better in heaven. And not only will just you and I get along that well, we're going to get along with everybody in heaven. Some mathematician did the numbers to be as many as 25 billion in heaven. Can you imagine every single person through all those billions of people getting along perfect forevermore? No backbiting. No saying one thing in front of your face, something else behind your back. No hypocrisy. Everybody getting along at the highest perfect good forevermore. Man, I can't wait for that to start. Just like Mose Wright told the news reporters about testifying for his nephew, Emmett Lewis Till, who was killed in Money, Mississippi. He told the reporters, he said, man, I'm going to go back and testify, but after that, I'm through with Mississippi forever and ever. You can have my part. Well, that's why I feel about Earth. I'm through. You can have my part. I'm going somewhere way better than this. And I know you are. As you keep hearing this, you tired of news reports and sex trafficking and abortions and murder and senseless murder and school shootings and hypocrisy in politics. You tired of all that. I know you tired of it. You tired of yet another divorce. You tired of yet another husband stepping out. Women being mistreated, disrespected. You tired of all that. Man, I ain't trying to stay here. I'm here for me to live is, come on somebody, Christ. He wants me here. You're here for him. Amen. So when you suffer, for his sake you suffer. When you're in pain, for his sake you're in pain. But there's a plan to it. Amen. There's no magic molecule. There's no randomness of this. Where did this come from? God knew it. Yes. That's the first thing I say, the Lord reminds me every time. Lord, you knew this was going to happen. Wasn't sudden for you. Now walk me through it, please. Because you already knew. You already prepared. You saw it back here in eternity past. Before one molecule, one grain of sand, one leaf, one blade was even brought into existence, before it was ever created, you knew the whole thing.
Amen.
I love how omnipresence means that God is present everywhere. But I love how one of the preachers added to that, with full consciousness. Because see, I'm present here, but I probably don't know 1,000 of the things that are going on in this room right now. Every blink of the eye, every amount of air in your head, every heartbeat, the amount of blood that's coursing through your veins, how many gallons of blood it pumps through your veins since you've been sitting here. I mean, full consciousness where every grain of dirt is. If there's an ant walking in the back corner of that room, if there's a spider walking through it, he knows everything that's happening in this just room, not only in the room, but also in the entire world. God is mighty.
Amen.
Don't play him small. He know where every spider is in the entire world. He know which way the wind is blowing and which way the grass is blowing because of the wind blowing in every part of the world. Every blink of the eye, every hair, head on everyone's head. That's beyond our ability to even fathom that. How fast a fingernail grows, mine versus yours versus the one over in China and Beijing. He's a mighty God.
Amen.
Does not make mistakes. Never will, never can, can't lie. That's what I'm saying. We don't know who Dad is. We really don't know who our Father is. We don't know him like we need to know him. And the better you know him, the better you're able to walk through the garbage of life. I guarantee you, I'm a living witness, because the more I've learned about him, the more I'm able to make it through the hard, hard times of life. Some things happen that's so crazy, you just bump like a bump. Because you know him.
Yes.
Nah, I'm not. In our journey to getting to know him, because it is a journey, and getting to know him more and more and more, you're going to have your questions.
Yes.
You'll be thrown for a loop. And that's okay. I'm just saying, maintain your faith.
Amen.
Tell the Lord, my faith is shaky right now. I don't know why this little girl got raped 9 times and then thrown off in the garbage somewhere. I don't understand that. But I thank you. Somehow, that violent girl's death, you get glory for some kind of way. Amen. I don't understand it. But you know, Lord, I'm not going to stand it because your ways are... See, you got just keep talking to yourself. Your ways and your... Put your legs down. Your legs and your thoughts. Your ways and your thoughts are high above mine. Way above mine. As the heavens are above the earth. As the heavens are above the earth. So I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to try to rack my brain, get a headache, trying to migrate, trying to understand it. I'm just going to accept it and just believe in who you say you are. That's faith.
Amen.
Well, Lord, I'm confused. You know, he won't say, but he probably said, well, that ain't easy to do. For you to get confused. As human beings, it's not easy for us to get confused. There's so much we don't know.
Amen.
We are finite beings trying to understand the infinite God. Relax. Ain't gonna happen.
Amen.
Just trust him.
Amen.
Did God ever tell Job? Nope. Never told Job what was going on. He told us. Job never knew about the conversation in heaven between God and Satan. Job never knew that God was proving to Satan that you can't shake a true man's or woman's faith, a true woman of God, a true man of God's faith in me. You can't shake it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you, devil, use a lie that Job only serves me just because he has things. Can't even say that about you. Can I say that? Can I say that? Took away your things. Took away your job. What if God told you to leave your job? Just go out and do something else. And you don't know where you was going and didn't know where the next dime was going to come from. Could you do it? If you knew that God was telling you? How many of us are like Job? You can take away everything I have and we're going to fall down and we'll cry. Be sad about it, but we're going to worship God. We're going to maintain that faith. Y'all know, sunny days is not where you find out how strong your faith is. It's not during sunny days. The worth of a soldier is never evaluated in a time of peace. It's in the battle that you find out what kind of soldier you are. It's in the rain, the storm, the hurricane, you find out what kind of soldier we are. The Lord God said, yeah, I know you're going to trust me on sunny days. I know you're going to trust me. Yeah, God is good, this and the other, but will you do that when it's right? And it's amazing here. This is just the power of Almighty God. Job fell, just got the news and fell to the ground and worshiped God. I'm not saying, no. I'm not even saying get to that point right away. I'm not even talking about get to that point right away. I'm saying eventually get to the point where you worship God. Now as you grow, you will worship right away because you're just so in tune to him. You're spending your every day, all day with him. Every decision, things you're doing, you, Lord God, walk me through this. Help me this. I'm thinking crazy. I'm feeling some type of way. You're always talking to him, and he's always talking to you. And as you develop a more vibrant, real, ongoing, vivid relationship daily, all day, every day with them, as that grows, get to know them more. And when things hit, you're like, okay, well, I know your integrity. That's how Job was able to hold fast to his integrity. He knew God.
Amen.
Listen to this. Job says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away.
Yeah.
Right? The Lord gives, Lord took away. Listen to this. Somehow, the Lord God, somebody taught Job about providence and sovereignty. Because we know Satan was the immediate agent who took it away. He looked past that and said, you know, ultimate Lord God, Satan is under your authority. Blessed be your name. You took this away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what we need to get to.
Yeah.
Satan can do nothing. Nothing except God gives him permission to do that. Yeah. Now, I would lose everybody. If I went and taught that one, said that one sentence, the whole church would empty out. Boy, I'd be jumped on by all the pastors up back behind me. Like, dude, you can't teach it up in here. What's wrong with you? Leave. Get out of here. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. But I said, hold on, pastors, before y'all beat me up and put me outside the church. Think about this. And you walk through the question, did the devil make himself? Is he a created being or not? Who created him? When did God know that he was going to turn? See, walking through. See, if you're walking through like that, they got to back down and say, well, what? God knew. If you tell me that God doesn't know, then you're talking about another God that's an idol, then you need to shut the church down anyway. Because anytime you take away any attribute of God, him, the all, the omni, either one you want to say, all-knowing, omniscient, all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, all everywhere, omnibenevolent, all good. If you take away any of those, that he's all knowing, all powerful, all good, and everywhere, then at that moment, anyone you take away at that moment, you cease to talk about the God of the Bible. Amen. Do y'all hear me? Amen. You take away any one of those.
Amen.
So if you're back here and say, well, God saw, but he couldn't do nothing about it, then you're not all powerful, you got a new God. Well, God saw, but maybe God isn't as good, then he's not all good. That's another Bible. Because he said, I'm the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. That's why it took some years for me to get to this point. But I can preach it and teach you with absolute firm conviction that this is what the Lord, Word of God says. I know Satan, Lucifer, is not an eternal being. I know that God created him because in eternity past only was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's it who was in eternity past. There were no other beings. Because in the true Hebrew, in the beginning God created the heavens, that includes the angelic beings and their hosts, not just the heaven, but heaven and everybody up there. And the earth. Angels are created beings. And if God didn't want Satan here, he would not have been here. If God did not want evil here, God would not have let evil be here. Evil is not some sort of separate entity that put its fist up to God, you better let me exist. No. Evil is here because God ordained it and allowed it to be here. Didn't cause it, but he ordained it and he allowed it. Now, everything God does is for good. Help us to believe that, Father. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 28. Oh, we need to get this. We need to understand this so badly. I know that we can't hear this teaching enough because it's so different to what we're hearing on a daily basis. That was okay, Becky. That was cool. That was all right. All right, look at verse 28, Romans 8, 28. And we know. Well, thank God. That even that is a statement by faith, because we don't know that. You know, now he's writing to the church at Rome. And I think that there's a touch of faith by faith, because this is not in reality. But for the sake of the scripture, he says, and we know that God causes half of the things. Okay. Third of the things, quarter, three quarter, all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We don't believe that verse. We don't believe it. And if we do, we believe it to a certain extent. We do believe it halfway. That's better. Well, why you say that, preacher? Well, because the half we believe is when good things happen. We see that working for good. And that's not always the case either, by the way. Good things don't necessarily mean that it's for your good. Amen. Yeah, that's not necessarily the case. But that's what we think. So we say, we know that God calls all good things work together for good. Those who love God, called according to his purpose. We accept that. But we don't understand when God causes all things, the bad too. All means all. So that means, and we know that God causes all bad things also to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All bad things work together for good. All bad things. Say lie. All bad things work together for good. God causes them to work together for good. Now here's Lord God, help us to get it. I just, Lord, I need you to help us as your people focus right now. Because, Father God, what we tend to do, we read this verse 467,182 million times. And it's kind of like, yeah, I read that. And we kind of shut down our thinking processes and just kind of just read over it like rote memory. Help us break through us. Break up the fallow ground right now in our heart and mind and our soul and our spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that God causes all things. In order for God to cause, to be in a position to cause all things, everything to work together for good, he has to be in complete control. Does that make sense?
Amen. Amen.
That verse points to his sovereignty.
Yes.
If one molecule is out of control, then that one thing can get in there and tear up everything. He has to have everything in control to be able to cause everything to work together for good.
Amen.
You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You are in the number of those who love God and to those who are, in the literal Greek, the called according to his purpose. You're in that group. So for you, if you're saved, if you're born again, you are those who love God and you are the called according to his purpose, then everything is going to work together for good for you. Now, here's where we mess up. Well, here's where else we mess up. Is we try to define good according to our definition, our way of thinking. We're so, sin has destroyed us so tough that we don't even realize what we really need for us. Because what you think you need may not be what you really need, or what you think you need may be different, and a lot of times probably is different, than what God knows you need.
Amen.
Because God knows what's coming down the pipe.
Amen.
So God, back here, will start doing things to get you ready, because he knows here come a traumatic event that's going to happen down the pipe, but he got you ready back here. See, God knew that that woman right there, Mother Harris, my mother, Irma Dean Channels Harris, was going to be saved. He saved her 1960, when I was 1 year old. And so what God did, he gave her a heart for him on a serious tip. And so for 8 years, she really served him, 7+ years, really good, and got to know him as best she could. And that boy, B-O-U-I-E-D, boy kept her afloat when the big tragic thing happened in 68, when my dad suddenly died on a Thursday evening. And she walks into the house with her 5 children, trailing behind her, walking into the room and seeing, finding our dad dead in the bedroom. Suddenly, a 38-year-old widow with 5 children is there standing there. God caused her to come to him in 60 and develop a relationship. Because without that, who knows what would happen? You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, it was painful for her to come out the workplace. Because my mother, I'm telling you, all I know this rerun, but my mother was a Renaissance black woman before the Renaissance woman, that term was even used. Who at U of M in the late 40s? A black woman at U of M. Who doing that? She was an independent woman. Her mother and father are dead by 18. So she was an orphan, you know, by 18. Both her mother and father are dead. He made her just strong and independent then.
Yeah, thank
you. So she marries, you know, and marries her husband. And dad is a gentleman, a southern gentleman. He marries her. But the thing is, they still not saved. Then he gets saved in 60. My mother, who's a strong, independent black woman, educated, has to now submit to her husband with all that up in her. Independence, you know, submit to him and come out of the workplace and only be a mother. That was hard for her. And wash the dishes and all that. She prayed, Lord, help me to do this here.
Yeah.
But she submitted to her husband as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, in the moment when that's happening, is that a happy thing for her? No, I want to work. I done got my degree. You don't know the hard thing that's happening. You don't know what good it's going to produce later on down the line. So instead of bucking the hard thing, bucking and getting mad at God and wagging your finger, Lord, show me what I need to do in this. Show me I need to be in this. My cousin crazy. I hate this job. I'm sick in my body. I'm having pain every doggone day. I'm mad. Lord, I know this ain't the right attitude. Help me to see you in this. I like to pray, Lord, what am I going to learn out of this? And even then, you're going to take your time and show me, and I can't rush that, because you're going to show me when you show me. And you may not show me, never show Joe. We don't like that either. At least if I knew what was going on, I could go through this better. That's the problem. He said, well, you don't need no going on, because that changes your mindset too. I need you to continue to have faith completely in me. I ain't telling you nothing. And God won't do that. He know how to break us down. Please. We all need more breaking. We all do. We all do. All do. Yay. sickness, disease, pain, sudden loss of a loved one, prolonged loss of a loved one, hard times. We know that God causes all things to work together for good.
Amen.
Your God and my God is always in control, because there is no way that he can cause everything to work together for good if he's not in complete control all the time. Providence is God's involvement in the world, God's constant care for, and his absolute rule over all his creation for his own glory and the good of his people. That's a great summarized definition. God has already seen it. He saw Dad be in the pool and have a seizure, am I right, in the pool while he was swimming. That's tough on Mr. Starks. He's a swimmer, even in his 70s, going to probably outstroke all of us in there if you ain't no swimmer. Dude could swim. Excuse me, swim like white people. That's a black man swimming. He loved his independence, had his brick pickup truck. He doing his thing. Boom! Middle of the lap, boom, it hits. Haven't been able to swim. Struggles to walk. Had a seizure in church at some. He said, why? Hey, either you're going to play at God or you're going to really listen and say, well, I gotta have some real faith on it. Yes! Because hell is coming.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth. If you playing, trouble's going to find out you fake. Yeah. It's going to cause you either to put up or shut up.
Amen.
Glory be to God. J.R. struggling with the death of his dad. He in there going to his father's funeral and had probably some heart attacks. That thing almost took him out then. Some other things going on. He almost died. While his father is, services are going on. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. You got to keep telling yourself, Lord God, it's working together for good. You're causing it. I can't see it. I'm just going to have faith in you. Because you said it, I believe it. You said it, that's enough. It's going to be good in this.
Yeah.
Somehow it's going to be good in that. Somehow. Look over at Genesis chapter 50. And get ready to close. God is in absolute control. He sees and knows the future. He sees and knows the future. How do you know that? Because he declared the end from the beginning. Only way he can do that was he saw it all. And then he's in complete control. You know Genesis 50. I mean, you know it. But let's look at it again. Let me get there. You know the story very, very quickly. Joseph's brothers hated him, took him, selling him to the caravaners, I think the Midianites, I think, I'm not sure. Go to Egypt, you know, the Potiphar wife's lies on him, he's in jail, wrongly prisoned for years, comes out, becomes the prime minister of Egypt. You know it again, but Look at verse 20. Verse 20. As for you, you meant evil. Now I'm going to tell you something. When the devil, and this is why you're not just in the devil's hand, is the point I'm making. When the devil comes at you, he always means for evil. But because he doesn't have the ultimate say-so, God is working good. Do you hear that? Because he's not sovereign, and that's a word that a lot of folks in evangelical, especially in the charismatic section of that, don't understand the word sovereign. Sovereign means one ruler. Meaning that your authority is greater than everyone else's. Meaning there is no other authority that exists that's not even equal to, let alone greater than yours. So there is no authority on earth that's even equal to God, let alone greater. He's sovereign. So the devil is under God's authority. You follow that? Not equal to. They made it almost seem like, at times, it was almost like a tug of war, as if the devil had equal strength over God. No, he does not. Everything the devil does, he means for evil. Did he not want to kill Job and kill all the children and just tear him up and ultimately destroy his faith? Because that's what he's aiming at, his faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he meant for evil. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. We're talking about concurrence. Con with current flowing side by side. Devil means evil. God means good. God's plan is going to win out and going to be done. We told you this. The most evil act, you got to keep remembering this, and I'm keep over and over, the most evil act ever done was the murder, torture, and murder of Jesus Christ. The illegal, unjust trial, torture, beating, and subsequent murder of Jesus Christ. Because that's all according to the human side, physical side, that's all that was done. They tortured, tried him unjustly, tortured him and beat him and killed him. Want to get rid of him. That was on the intent for evil side. On the good side, right? The Lord meant it for good. On that side was the salvation of God's people. The removal of all our sins being beat for us. The chastisement needful to obtain our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed and made whole.
Amen.
So our sins were removed. So all the beatings that was happening in the natural side, right, working alongside it was, they go to salvation of Chris Starr. They go to salvation of Hermione. They go to salvation of Papa. They go to salvation. You see what I'm saying? That's what was happening at the same exact time. So as you're going through things, God is working. We just don't always know. But believe me, he's working. He just told us it's working for good. And as you receive this teaching, it's gonna help you to get through your hard times.
Amen.
You do. Because we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To them who know God, love God, and are the called according to his purpose. Father God, we thank you for that mighty promise. You are a good God, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I have heard 1,000 stories of who they think you are. Oh, but we've just heard the tender whisper letting us know exactly who you are. You are a good God. You are the only wise God. You are sovereign and in complete control. We bow down to your will and to your way. We thank you that we can rest our head in the lap of your sovereignty. In Jesus' name. Amen.